The word comes to us from Isaiah 40, verses 30 through 31, and it is this: even youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. This is the word of the Lord. It was a month ago today that I was praying my prayer in a Sunday morning. And I was praying for the hopes and the dreams and the struggles of God's people. And as I lifted up my eyes, my sound man Chip motioned me to come down. And he whispered in my ears these words: your wife is in the back. You need to take her to the emergency room right now. As I quickly tried to gather up my strength and ran out the door, and 250 faces followed me all the way out, there my wife said, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." We got in the car and we rushed down to Spectrum Butterworth. And there we were rushed into a room. The curtains pulled on both sides. And there we waited. I can hear an old man on the other side complaining, saying, "I need help right now. I need help right now." There was a woman in her 40s on the other side of the curtain who was frustrated because now she was ready to get out. Her work was done. For 6 hours, we waited for an answer or anything. The hardest thing to do in our lives is to wait. To wait for the exams to be over, because I know you're in the midst of that right now. To wait, to wonder what your next career is going to be. To wait. For us, it was waiting in that hospital. And there, everybody was over the age of 50. Not a young person to be seen. Isaiah presents to us a picture. He presents to us a picture that is incongruent and it doesn't make sense. It's almost paradoxical. Young men will grow tired and weary. Young men will stumble and fall. You can almost insert these words. Even freshmen and sophomores will grow weary. Juniors and seniors will stumble and fall. The picture that Isaiah presents to us goes against the grain of everything that is right before us. You are young. You're in your 20s. You have all your faculties. You still have brain cells. Praise be to God. Isaiah presents to us a picture that is not supposed to be. It is if it is a hospital filled with young people just like you in casts with IVs stuck to your arms, being pushed in wheelchairs. Why does Isaiah present this picture to us? And what does God have to teach us? But when we grow tired and when we stumble and fall, the picture is this. In order for God to get inside of us, to make space in us, the best thing that he has for us is Isaiah saying this: wait. wait. Isaiah is speaking to a people who are in exile, a people who are looking for an answer from God. When will you come through? When will your promises be new? When will you come and deliver us? When will all of this end? But those who wait, I want to just say three quick things about what the discipline and the ministry of waiting does for us, especially during this time of Advent. The first is this: in order to make space for God, we must be more interested in who we are than what we do. You got to be a lot more interested in who you are and what God is doing than what you do. The 19th century philosopher and author Soren Kierkegaard tells the story of a young man who wants to ace his math test. Any mathematicians in the house? Well, he wanted to ace that test, and he said, well, here's the best way I can do this. I'm going to steal the test. Now, I know no Calvin student would ever think of doing that because they have alarms. But he said he's going to steal the test, and he did. He stole it from the teacher, and he memorized every last problem, every last one of them. And guess what? He aced the test. He got, well, that's what happens when you do it that way, I guess. He aced it. He had a technical victory. He got exactly what he wanted. He was more interested in the right answer, getting everything right, and having it done now. Kierkegaard ends the story this way: to truly know and to have knowledge is to have the discipline to work through the problems. To actually work through the problems of life. Isaiah presents to us a picture, and he says, you are going to get tired. You are going to get weary. You are going to stumble and fall. But they who hope and who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Here's the question, saints. It depends on what kind of God you're really after. What kind of God do you really want? And I want to present to you two pictures. You can either have a God who is contractual, or you have a God who's covenantal. If you're interested in a God who is contractual, then all he cares about is that you get things right. But that kind of God is not really interested in you. But if you're interested in a covenantal God, then here's the thing. He will do whatever it takes to get and to move into your life because he cares enough about you. This is a God who cares about character, not about law. This is a God who cares to get inside of your life, not operate on the peripherals. If a God who is covenantal says, I will do whatever it takes, I will create space inside of you in order that I may live in you because I care about what kind of person you are, not the things that you do. But we live in a culture that defines us by what we do, how much is in your bank account, what family you came from, what's your class? God is more interested about who you are because he cares about your character. He cares about the kind of person you're turning into. And in order for that to happen, he asks you to do this. Wait. You see, now is the most addictive word in our culture. I want it now. I expect it now. Wait. Do you know who I am? I'm young. I'm rippling. I'm like this. Do you know who this is? But Isaiah says, if you want to deal with a covenantal God, a relational God, wait, that he may create space in you. St. Augustine says, Lord, enlarge my heart, because my heart is too narrow. And for some of us, God got to get in and do some construction work. Hallelujah. You ain't got to say amen, just say ouch. God's got to come in and knock down some walls. He's got to rearrange some rooms. He's got to put up some new paint. Because God cares about who you are and not what you do. The second is this. You must be willing to trust God's vision of you than to settle for the world's offer of certainty. Let's be honest. Uncertainty has grabbed all of us. If you've been listening to the news, everything seems to be going to pot. $700 billion. To bail out a few companies. We watched GM and Chrysler and Ford beg for $14 billion. We wonder that maybe when we leave this wonderful institution like Calvin, what are the prospects for us? Will we have a job? Will we have to soon start paying back those loans? Well, our parents let us move back into the house. It's uncertainty. None of us ever wants to grapple with uncertainty because uncertainty grips us. And then when we are uncertain about life, we grab for any and everything that seems to answer the quick fix question. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah has some wonderful advice for us, saints, and it is this. Wait for God to do his work in you, but before he does it, it begins by leading a life of gratitude. It begins by saying right now, thank you, God. Your promises are new. Thank you, God, that you have not left me to my own devices, but you've brought into our lives that you said and you promised you would bring a Savior. Because you see, I have not been very good at trying to save myself. I've been worried about all the things that are around me that I thought would give me certainty, that I thought would calm all my fears, but all it gave me was sand between my fingers. Maybe the place that we begin is that we begin by saying thank you, Lord. Just say thank you, God. That's not a rhetorical question, y'all. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor when you're writing letters and say, thank God for you. Do that. Feel the love in the place. Feel the love. Now, that's not an Oprah moment, y'all. That is the Christian way of when we begin to say, thank you, God. Guess what happens? God's vision begins to break forth in your life, and you begin to see the promises of God more clear, more certain, and that he personally had you in mind when he sent Jesus into the world. You see, Jesus didn't come for occupant to whom it may concern or resident. God came specifically in Jesus because he had your personal name and future in mind. God has a dream that's bigger than what you can see right now. And all he's asking you to do is to practice the simple discipline, the simple ministry of waiting for him to act. Because when we wait, guess what happens? We give up control of our lives. How many control freaks do we got in the house? Raise your hand, raise both hands, and wave them like you just don't care. You see, once you give up control, God takes over, and he takes you on the most amazing adventure you will ever be on. But you got to be willing to trust his vision for you. And the last thing is this. You got to be willing to listen in the darkness. You got to be willing to listen in the darkness. Martin Luther King, before he gave that wonderful speech in 1963 on the Washington Mall, got a very cryptic phone call that went something like this. Martin, we're tired of your mess. And if you're not out of our town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house. Click. Martin put the phone down and he prays over his cup of coffee. And I'm paraphrasing here. My daughter is sleeping in the room next door. And she can be taken away from me at any moment. And there is my devoted and loyal and faithful wife. I can also lose her. Lord, I'm feeling mighty weak. I'm about to falter. Lord, I'm down here trying to do your will. I feel that what I'm doing is right. I feel that the cause is right. I feel that the way that we're going is right. But Lord, I cannot stand it anymore. The pressure is getting to me. I'm losing courage. I don't know what to do with that voice that is scaring me half to death. And I'm worried what is going to happen to my family. Martin, if you wait upon me, you shall mount up like wings of an eagle. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. Martin, I want you to get up. Get up from where you're at. I'm going to strengthen you in the places that are discouraged. I'm going to strengthen you in the places that are broken. I'm going to give you fear. I'm going to give you courage where fear seems to grapple you. Martin, get up. You see, God speaks to us in the darknesses of our lives, and he doesn't shout, he whispers to us. But the gospel word, when the devil seems to be tearing you down, is but. Hallelujah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, hallelujah, on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God speaks his words of promise to us when it feels like we're about to give up, when it feels like we're about to fall, when we stumble, we're tired, and we're weary. God whispers to you, saints, I'm for you, not against you. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God he sent to us in the Son. That when he stretched out his hands, he said, I love you, even when we were at our worst. Thank God that he waited. He waited 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. Because you know what? You were worth the wait. You were worth the wait. May we wait for his work and power to come in us. Will you make room for the Savior this Advent season. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we confess that there are so many things that are crowding our lives. Our closets are rammed full. Our cell phones are buzzing off the hook. We have papers and tests and things undone. And Lord, we need it all done now, but thanks be to you. Right now, we want to create space for you. We need a Savior. Hallelujah. We need a Savior. We want to make room for you. So come. Come, Jesus, and live in us. Take hold of us. Move with everything that you need to do, that you may come and live in us. And we will find strength, strength for the journey, because you love us and we belong to you. It's in this name that we pray, let all God's people say,